The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
All right, y'all ready?
Yes.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
I'm Ben.
I'm Veronica.
Thanks for tuning in. And tonight we are going to kind of go over a couple different things, a couple parables, and just me rambling on about stuff. And tonight I want to start because we talked about in church today, we talked about tithing, which is something that I have got to get more faithful in. I'm terrible with it. But if you want to turn to Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test." I like that we're allowed to test him on this, but nothing else. It's all good. He can do what he wants.
For but, sure.
You know, tithing isn't just about like monetary stuff. I mean, it's about giving like your time as well. Like what we're doing, I consider this a form of tithing because we're giving up our time freely to do something that we're not getting paid for, at least not yet. Hopefully he'll open that up down the line, but that's going to be up to him. So this is, you know, and we're not professionals by any means, if you haven't been able to tell. Like, we're none of us are classically trained in preaching. And Veronica and Ben are probably more suited to knowing what the Bible says as opposed to me, because I've not really looked at it in 30 years. Well, I mean, I have this past 6 months because kind of jumped back into it, but I can't just recall things out of my mind just yet. Getting there, but not quite yet.
Yeah. I want to say one thing about tithing. Mm-hmm. One, you be careful. There is like a certain percentage listed biblically, right? The 10%. Yep. I'm not saying you can't ever give more, but I've seen a lot of clips and I could tell you the exact preacher's names of preachers who are saying to their people in their congregation, if you don't bring up $1,000 now, then you won't be blessed. And I feel it on my heart that God wants you all to give $1,000 now, like not knowing like if these people can financially handle that burden. And yes, I understand that when you tithe, God will multiply your money, but there are people out there that are taking advantage of people. So be very careful where you're going and who you're listening to. Because they're out there.
Yeah, there is the wolves inside the sheep. Yeah. And you always have to be careful because inside the church, the devil comes and he attacks. And that is a way to attack a lot, especially in the evangelical world.
Yeah.
That is very common. When I grew up in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. people used to tithe 25 cents, like 50 cents every time they go to church. And all my question every time I went to church is how this priest can live with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously, now I know they receive money from the Vatican. Otherwise, it will not be a possibility in countries like mine. Like in Ecuador, it won't be a possibility that they live,
Right.
but they do live a simple life. And I appreciate that. I like that because Jesus did that. Now, I'm going to tell you something about my church that you're going to be surprised. My pastor never asks money, and he's totally against that. I love that about him.
Yeah, I feel
And there
that.
is people in this church that gives so much
So much.
money. And there is a guy that gave $1 million.
Oh my gosh.
And what do they do with $1 million? Because people ask me, what do they do with $1 million in a church? They do wells in Africa. You know?
Yeah.
So it's great. So we get to help, we get to have ministries, you see an organization, you see leadership, you see, but he is totally against to ask money. He say, I am the guy that is not gonna ask you money. So if you ever see any email or anything about anybody asking you money, that's a scam. That's not me.
Yeah, our
And
church is kind of the same way. Like, we don't, like, you know how they do like offering plates and stuff usually in traditional churches, I guess? They don't do that. So they don't, I mean, like, we talked about tithing today, but they're real digital, so that you can scan a QR code that they put up on the screen and, do it online. So, but I mean, they're not like, we need you to give money. They
Yeah.
just remind us of what the Bible says, which is, what's supposed to be happening anyway.
Yeah, a couple of these people I'm talking about in particular, like, are online bragging about owning not one but two jets, and then they're telling their congregation that if you are faithful to God and you work hard, you can also have all these things. And I'm sitting there like, these people are paying for all those things. You took their money to get these things, right? And then I don't remember exactly what verse is. Veronica might remember better than me, but there is a verse where people are tithing, right? And a woman gives like a penny or something very small, and all the other people are giving like a ton of money. And Jesus tells his disciples, I promise you, this woman has given more than any of those people. And they're like, how can that be? And it's because they gave out of their abundance. She gave everything she had. It wasn't a 10%, it wasn't a number. It was, she gave everything that she had, right? And it was a very small,
Attitude.
but to God, that was everything.
And honestly, I don't think, I mean, the Bible does say 10% is what we should give, but I don't think God cares the number we give as long as it's from our heart and we're doing it faithfully and in obedience to what His word says.
Yeah.
At least in
Well, Mother Teresa says something in the other side.
my
And I love Mother Teresa, by the
Yeah.
way, but she says something about give until it hurts.
Yeah.
So it has to hurt you
Right.
because this is what happened, that we give the money or we give time, like Mandy say, yes, true, time is money. Time is
Yeah.
sometimes more valuable for us than money. And we
Yeah.
give all our service or we give whatever we need to give. But whatever we do, it has to be kind of like a sacrifice, not something that is left over for us.
Yeah.
It's not something like, okay, like I have 5 cents here, okay, whatever. I give this to the church. I mean, it's not just, we're giving this to God, you
Yeah.
know?
Right. And she certainly lived up to that, right? She gave every free moment she had to children and the ministry. So she definitely lived up to
Exactly.
what she said.
Yeah, I mean it's, and I'm gonna try to every time I get paid to, before I even do any of my bills, give what I'm supposed to give to my church or wherever he tells me to put it into.
Now, as Ben say, I wouldn't be overwhelmed about that amount of the 10%. I wouldn't be overwhelmed that. Now, if that helps you to like account something, like it will be a good idea. But don't get overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, what I'm gonna do if I give the 10% or this or that, or this really bothers me or whatever. No, just give everything that you give from your heart, God will receive. You
Sure.
know?
Bless you back. Don't just give to receive, basically. So last week, do you remember we talked about, I asked a question if we could lose our salvation?
Yeah.
Ben, I think you said no, there's not possible, and that's not possible.
I mean, to me, I believe no.
No possible salvation for what?
To lose your salvation.
What did you say? Sorry, I couldn't hear.
To lose your salvation.
Ah, to lose your salvation. Oh, okay.
I
No, no,
think
no.
from my own personal experience, because I was saved when I was elementary school, I think, the first time, and then I quit when I was 19, gave up on Christianity. And the 30 years since, well, let me just put it to you this way. If I had died, if my stroke had killed me, I don't think I'd be in heaven right now.
But it didn't.
You didn't because you are the prodigal child. You know? The other day, this 14-year-old that works with me at the YMCA, she was talking with me about that, the prodigal child. And she said that she was not agree that the other brother was working all her life and the one that left and spent everything came back and had the forgiveness of the father. And I say, what if I tell you that you are the prodigal child? Because you are, I am, and every one of us is. We are the prodigal child. We are not a good guy, you know, and we go away, we do the bad stuff. Like that separation you had in your younger years, that's normally what humans do. In the younger years, they separate from God. But there is something, there is a seed in you that was lived there, and you're supposed to come back to God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, and I believe like for even people that have passed that we can look at their lives and be like, I don't think that person is gonna be in heaven. Like we can't know that because we
Oh,
don't
for
know that
sure.
they're not lying in their bed at the last moment and Jesus is there and they're like, Jesus, Lord, I accept you. We don't know what happens before that person passes because I think God gives you every opportunity that he can, which is infinite, to come to him.
Yeah. I don't
I
know
did find
here
a
in the
couple
US,
scriptures
but
about
in Ecuador, we have in the hospitals, it's always a priest that go to
Yeah.
visit the
Same
sick
here.
people. Here too, I think that
Yeah.
even pastoral situations, yes, that helps a lot.
Yeah. So I found a couple scriptures that I wanted to read you guys and just get your opinions on. The first one is John 15, and it's verse 6 through 7. It says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Some branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And
Yep.
then flip over to Hebrews.
Now, when we ask anything we want, it's not a magic thing that I say, well,
Well, it
God, I
doesn't mean we're
believe
going to
in
get
you.
it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's also His will. We have to ask that if it is your
Got to be in our
will,
best interest.
yes. And then the other thing is we have to ask with real faith, you know?
Yes. That's what I'm working on right now, the whole faith part, because it's trust has kind of been a recurring theme this week for me because it's hard.
It is hard to have faith.
Yeah. I flipped over to Hebrews 6, and it's going to be verse 4 through 6. It says, For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. They themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame.
So let's look at can we look at the first verse first? Just like take these like one at a time because there's something important in this verse. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He does not say, I cast them into the fire. He says, men cast them into the fire and they are burned. So I think what he's saying there is that if you don't rely on God and your faith isn't in God, you're going to be thrown left and right all through the world. The world's going to trample you down. You're going to be beaten up in this world. I don't think that that's talking about like losing your salvation. I think it's saying that without God, you can't survive the evils of this world.
I don't know, because there was, oh, there was something, and I think it's in Matthew. Now I didn't write it down, but I can't.
We're jumping around a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's keep up. It's okay.
The one I'm thinking of is Jesus is the vine.
This is that one, because right above it, he says, I am the vine, you're the branches.
And God
is abides in me, and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Which again, he's saying, without me, you can do nothing, right? Like, so you can gain your salvation, and then if you backslide, you're not going to have the benefits of having God be able to work in your life. Because Jesus made it very clear throughout the Gospels, if you really pay attention to what he's doing, that he cannot act. And I don't even think that he cannot act, because he is God. But he chooses not to act. He chooses not to help people if they do not have faith. So if your faith is no longer with God, whether you have found him at some point or not, you're going to not be able to rely on him throughout your life. So it's very important that you stay connected to him, you keep your faith for him, and then he will do anything for you. But like Veronica said, that's not like a magic genie who's going to give you $1 million tomorrow. It just means that he's there. You have his favor upon you.
Mm-hmm.
But he says multiple times, right? For instance, the town that he's in, when he's in his hometown, right? He is unable to do miracles. It says he couldn't do many miracles, and a prophet is not valued in their own land, right? Like, it wasn't the fact that he was no longer Jesus. It was like he needed the faith of the people to heal them.
Right.
That part is important, because what happened is that we are children of God, but we decide to be children of God. It's actually, it's like God give us the free will, so we decide if we want to be part of him, you know?
Yeah.
And if we are not part of him, he cannot act.
Yes.
Okay, so he gave us that choice. That's why there is so many people that say, we all are children of God. No. Only the ones that want to be.
Yes.
Well,
don't forget when you're looking at like the way his power works, and you like look at the disciples. Judas Iscariot also worked miracles. Like Judas Iscariot also was able to do healing and miracles.
Yep,
so until he lost his faith in Jesus and decided that he wasn't the Messiah, because he wasn't doing this revolution against Rome that he thought that Jesus was going to do.
Wasn't doing it the way Judas wanted him to do it.
Yes.
Crazy.
Well, we are very stubborn. So many times we say, why God do this? He should do that, you know? And we always fail in that, like Judas. But the problem with Judas is that he was educated by the Messiah himself. And he missed the big picture, having God in front of him.
Yes. And mankind is so arrogant. We think that like everything should be this logical way. And God loves to do things in ways we don't expect or understand.
Yeah,
as we'll see in the Beatitudes here in just a few minutes. But I mean, here's a question for you guys. Do you think Judas went to heaven, or is he in hell?
I think we're going to have different answers on this one.
I think that because he repented.
He did.
He repented. So I cannot answer that, but he did repent. Yes. And that is why I think that he could be in heaven, maybe not sitting by Jesus, the throne. No, but he probably will be one of us.
Surprisingly, I agree.
We forgot who he was.
Surprisingly, I agree. And I think that, like, yes, He backslid, but when you talk about like God, like he uses, what's the passage? He uses bad things for good, right? Like that one goes on to say for the people that love him. This is not that case, but Judas Iscariot did play his role. Salvation would not exist without him betraying Christ. I mean, it might, but he would have had to do it a different way. So he did play a role that he was supposed to. And like Veronica said, he repented to the point where he took his own life. He was so distraught. He threw the money back. He didn't even take the money that he was getting. He threw it
Probably
back at the Pharisees, right? Like, and I'm sure at some point in there's a, I'm so sorry, Lord, forgive me.
I would hope so, because I mean,
Well, he went to give back the money. Do you know, I heard a pastor saying something funny, and since you start to talk about money, that will be a great thing. Judas, he gave back the money. How many people say, God, I repent that I stole this person,
But
but
they
they
don't give
don't
it
give back
back.
the
Judas was better than them, yeah.
money?
Saying something right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's interesting because I don't think a lot of people think about when you think of Judas and the whole Jesus situation that he was crucial to Jesus's plan. Like
Yes.
it was already preordained that he was going to do this, and Jesus knew about it before it happened.
Yes.
So it's kind of like you said,
Yeah.
about
Well,
Judas.
the Pharisees too, right? Like, I mean, Jesus is kind of hardens their hearts the same way that God did the Pharaoh's heart with Moses, right? Like, don't you ever read the Moses verses and they're like, and then God hardens his heart again, and you're like, God, let this man repent. Let this man be okay. But like God's, like I said, he does things in ways that we don't understand. And he chose to make the Pharaoh keep having a hardened heart. He needed the Pharisees to not know who he was. They were not chosen to understand, except for Nicodemus.
Yeah. And even Jesus, I think we talked about that last week, didn't we? That those who cannot see or hear, like their hearts are going to be hard. I can't recall the specific things, but it was, yeah, along the same things you just said. So still in Hebrews, and these next couple of verses kind of are a little jarring. Hebrews 10 verses 26 through 28. It says, Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who has refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. I mean, that says it right there. God's gonna, the blood's not
It
covering.
does, but it also doesn't, because the holiest person that you know on this planet, like a Mother Teresa, still sinned until the day she died. Right? Like, there's no human being that doesn't sin.
No,
But
but it's
what
saying
you're
if we
talking about,
continually, if we're doing it over and over again, even though we know it's wrong, that's where the
yes, if you know it's wrong and you're continuing to do so, but we all have sins and things that we are going to do forever. Like, whether it even be just like a tinge of jealousy when something occurs that you like, it happens and you can't stop it, and then you're like, oh wait, that's wrong, right? And you feel it and you cut it off, it's still a sin, right? Like,
Yeah,
true.
what happened is that it's that being conscious that you are doing a sin and keep doing it, that's what get us in trouble as Christians.
Yes.
You know?
I think God's just trying to scare us.
Well, we should be an
Which,
example for the
honestly, that
others.
those three verses kind of does scare me.
Yeah, but for example, let's see the pastors. The pastors that ask money and the pastors that steal money and the pastors, they're supposed to be Christians. And how many people is mislead or say, oh, Christianity is a fake thing because they see these pastors over and over steal money from people or just making an empire with his money on living in wonderful houses when so many people is dying and starving, and when
now,
they
that's
supposed
not
to be
saying
like
that
Jesus.
pastors can't have a good, you know, life. Not saying that.
No,
not at all.
And
Not at all.
I'm
But if you own two
they can
jets,
have.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah, I do have a problem when you have to live in a mansion with so many jets or super nice cars. When there is people that need help, where are you? What is your time? Why you are not helping these people too, you
And
know?
then, like, I'll just say the name of this particular. Like, one was Jesse Duplantis, if you've ever heard of this guy. And this man said, he's like, people always get down on me for having one jet. But then I laugh at him and I say, I don't have a jet. I have two jets. And then he goes on to talk to his congregation about how they can have things too. Like I said, and it's like, number one, they funded that. But number two, jets are millions of dollars. He could give those people better lives by simply selling the jets.
He could build homes for the homeless people.
Yes.
Homeless.
And if you own
I will
two
tell you
jets, you also
something.
have mansions and cars. And
yeah, Billy Graham had a plane, and they still have. But what is the use of the plane?
he
They use
traveled
that
all
plane
over
to
doing
bring
ministry.
ministry and missions to people that is starving, to people in wars. There is the plane of Billy Graham right there. You know? So where is the jets of these pastors when these things happen? Yeah, we just have recently an earthquake in Venezuela that they needed them. And you didn't see any jets or anybody from the evangelical church saying, oh, we're going to bring this $1 million for them. Nothing. So it is sad. And then they are our example, you know? So because they act like that, they are our example. You know, maybe
but
we're
again, they are
nobody.
human.
Yeah, and they are human, and they are sinning, and they're supposed to be Christians. So that's why I think that the Apostle Paul say, if you are a child of God and you know that this is a sin, stop to do that, because we're supposed to be the example of the others. You know, I have a problem gossiping at work. Because you know the airline is always something, you know, it's juicy and it is always something. But I always find myself, and when I am there trying to stop myself, sometimes I can't.
Yeah,
And then
same.
I have to
But
ask
I feel
forgiveness.
guilty and convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I know you do too. That's
Yeah,
important, right? Like,
exactly.
That's important.
It is
if you guys
important.
weren't feeling convicted about it, there'd be a problem.
Yes. And then sometimes I ask God for important things, and then you know the devil remind you, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. How you will be asking this? And so I put myself in a position that how can I even ask you this if I don't change myself, if I am not doing anything to change?
Yep.
You know?
That's
So
a very good.
But then I remember, okay, God, remember I am a sinner and Jesus paid for my sins and I am forgiven. So don't see me, see Jesus in me, please, because I cannot do this. I mean, I am not perfect. I never will be, but I will try to change. And then I think I'm getting better because I find myself, and it's very good to keep the habit of observe yourself, that see what is the sin, what is my failures every day, and try to fight with that, you know?
Yes, I agree. And like, we are definitely works in progress. And if you observe yourself, like Veronica said, and you aren't seeing progress, then that's when you have to make some more adjustments and keep
or if
praying.
You're not seeing anything, period, then you need to take a harder look. Like, when during my encounter with Jesus class today, this afternoon, like I said, the whole trust thing has kind of been a theme for this week. And the Holy Spirit convicted me because we were listening to one of our pastors from the church, because he did a video for the class. And he asked me, not the pastor, but the Holy Spirit was like, you freely give your trust so easily and readily to anybody that you've just met without any problems. But when it comes to Jesus, you're holding back. Why is that? And I'm like, I don't know. You made me this way. So I honestly don't know. But I mean, it's true. I do trust very, very easily, and it usually ends up biting me in the butt. But except with Jesus, who I should be trusting wholeheartedly, but I don't yet fully.
Yeah, well, we will. This is a process, Mandy. It's a process, little by little, and they start to give you things little by little. As I told you every time, some people get the lucky thing that they get released immediately. You know, like Paul.
Yeah.
Paul was a persecutor of Christians, and Jesus showed himself, his glory in front of him, and made him blind. And yeah, I mean, it was a spectacular thing, and he had to change night to day. But normally, that's not what happened. Normally, what happened is it is a process, and the process is long, and you keep failing, and then you feel bad, and you feel dirty, and you feel like you are not worthy. But then you had to remember, that's why he paid for that. You know? And if we don't take that gift that he gave us, we are like rejecting his gift.
Yeah.
And that's what the devil wants, that we don't forgive ourselves. You know?
Absolutely. So I have one more verse I want to get to, and then we'll jump into what we actually came on here to talk about. And it is Romans 11, verse 22. Says, notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe towards those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. So that's another thing I'm just like, oh, okay, that's not scary at all.
Yeah, I understand that that is a scary passage. For me, it kind of goes back to the passage we were looking at last week, right, where you're talking about the good soil.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, sometimes even when the word is in the good soil and God is in you deep, you're still going to struggle and have moments or days or months or maybe even a year where like you don't talk to him and you don't rely on him. But I don't think that means that he's no longer there and that the seed isn't already fully planted. So this verse kind of reminds me of that, where I'm thinking, you know, like he's talking about the people that didn't have it rooted and then they tossed it away. They didn't really ever get to the point of salvation to begin with.
I had so many people in my family that I feel sometimes disappointed, or sometimes I feel sad, and sometimes I feel desperate because they act like they got it.
Sure.
They got the thing. And yeah, you are right, and God is good, and this and that, and that. And then I see that totally opposite behavior the next time I see them. By the way, Mandy, I don't see that behavior in you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, never.
Keep it that way.
The same with Ben. But with these family members, I see like totally different thing. I totally disconnected, you know? And then once in a while, they will show that like, yeah, God is good. And that reminds me a lot when I was Catholic, I was like that, you know? And that is what I think that Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about that you cannot just have so much fire in you and then disappear. Because now in the position that I am right now with God, like Diana also say, if I don't pray a day, if I don't pray or read the Bible or do my duty to spread the gospel and to talk about God or to talk with God, if I don't do that in the morning, I'm going to have a horrible day for sure.
Yeah.
That's the position that I am right now. I'm going to have, I mean, and things are going to happen and then I will start to be like, it will be horrible. And then I will realize how in the world I forgot that I have a God, how I forgot my first love, how I did that before I start my day. you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to get into that routine now where, because like I've been waking up at 4 a.m. to get up and go to the bathroom. But instead of getting up and going to the bathroom, I kind of lay in bed for a few minutes and I just start my day talking to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I know they're the same, but in my head, I talk to him separately because I have to.
Yeah.
That's good.
I wake up early too, like 3:30, 4-ish
Yeah.
daily. And it's I'm probably about 50-50 on whether I do like the amount of prayer that I want to do. I always talk to God, like I'll pray at least a small, but like there's like a certain amount, there's a certain kind of thing I'm trying to do, right? Like one like was like the video Veronica sent, right? Like trying to do that, it's like a full half hour, right? Which it's 3:30 in the morning. I have time, right? But yeah, so getting like really diligent on doing it the I want to say the right way, right? Where my soul really hits that connected point is my next step on the morning part. But I do
And it's
talk to
hard
God
because we
throughout the
want to
day.
immediately like grab our phones and like see, you know, what our friends have been doing
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
online
yeah.
while everybody should
Yeah,
be seeing.
and phone's the devil, right? Like I definitely have grabbed my phone before I've prayed, right? And that's problematic. One thing I was thinking about though, when Veronica was talking about the people she knows that, you know, they love God, you know, they'll be like, God is great. And then next week it's like, oh, everything's miserable and whatnot. It's like, I think you can tell real Christians by like, I mean, there's multiple ways, but one way that like makes me know that like I am God's is I always give God credit for the good things, but I also always rely on him on the bad things. There's never time when things are going so bad that I'm like, oh, I'm done with God, right? Like, no, it's like, I am like, God, please help me. I need you so bad right now. Like, and when something's good, I'm like, thank you, God, please. I appreciate that so much, right? Like, good or bad, he's my first go-to.
Yeah, I've gotten pretty good with the thanking him for the good things, but the bad things, it's my mind just like the flesh takes over and it's like, this is ridiculous, it's dumb. I'm out, you know, I'm quitting. But I'm trying to get past that.
I honestly think I even rely on him more for the bad things. I probably need to
Well,
praise
that's
the
what we're
good things
supposed to do,
more.
I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
What he wants from his kids. Still. All right, you guys wanna Ben, you wanna pray us out of the episode and then we'll jump into this?
Sure.
Or
Thank you, Father.
did anybody have any, I'm sorry, did anybody have anything else they wanted to add to what we talked
No.
about?
Thank you, Father, for bringing us together tonight. We hope that you've reached people that you want to hear your word and that we have done your will and have just blessed the lives of anyone that happens to be listening. And Lord Jesus, continue to bless our lives and help us to continue to do your will and to get your word out there. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. And if
Amen.
anybody has listened to our multiple series of words today, we've talked a lot and given up, you know, opinions and, you know, talked about our own personal experiences, which is something I definitely want us to keep doing because people, I think, can respond better to things like this when they can relate to it. Because a lot of this isn't relatable. You start looking in, you know, things like, well, like Romans, for instance, the way Paul talks. That's not relatable to me at all. So it's nice to have people talk about their stuff. But if anything's tugged on your heart and you want to become part of Jesus's family, I mean, you're technically already his family, but to really seal the deal and make sure you have an eternity with him, there's a real simple prayer. And as we've said multiple times, becoming saved and being saved is easy. It's the easiest thing you'll do. Walking in that life is not. But it's worth it because you get to spend eternity with God and Jesus in paradise where you never have to worry about anything again or never have to cry again, which is awesome. I'm looking forward to that. So, Veronica, you want to translate in Spanish? Are
Yeah.
you awake? You like zoned out.
Yes, I am waiting.
Okay. And for
Okay.
anybody who does want to say this, just anybody who's under the sound of our voices, just repeat these words after us. Heavenly Father,
Padre amado,
I come before you today
vengo hacia ti
knowing that I am a sinner.
Aprende que soy una pecadora.
And that I cannot save myself.
Y que no puedo salvarme.
I confess my sins to you.
Confieso mis pecados ante ti.
And ask for your forgiveness.
Y pido tu perdón.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your son.
Yo creo que Jesucristo es tu hijo.
That he died on the cross for my sins.
Que murió en la cruz por mis pecados.
Was buried and rose again on the third day.
Fue enterrado y resucitó el tercer día.
I believe that his sacrifice paid the price.
Yo creo que el sacrificio pagó el precio.
For my sins and that he alone is my savior.
Para curar mis pecados, sabiendo que tú eres mi Señor.
Today I turn away from my old life.
Ayúdame a cambiar de mi vida antigua.
And place my faith and trust in Jesus.
Y poner mi fe y mi confianza en Jesús.
I surrender my heart to you.
Yo me arrepiento de corazón ante ti.
Please come into my life.
Por favor, ven a mi vida.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lléname de tu Espíritu Santo.
And help me to follow you for the rest of my days.
Y ayúdame a seguirte por el resto de mis días.
Thank you for your amazing grace.
Gracias por tu asombrosa gracia.
Your mercy and the gift of eternal life.
Tu misericordia y tu regalo de vida eterna.
Help me to grow in my relationship with you.
Ayúdame a crecer en mi relación contigo.
And to live in a way that honors you.
Y darte honor siempre a ti.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And if
Amen.
You said this prayer, we would love to hear about it. We'd love to hear your story and your testimony. Feel free to email us at throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com, or we're on Twitter and TikTok and Facebook, I think. Yeah, we're on Facebook. So, but yeah, we would love to hear your story. And if you need prayer or just want somebody to pray for you or with you, reach out to us. We would be more than happy to do it anytime. But we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in today, and we hope you gained some insight into your walk with Jesus, and hopefully some people have said yes to Jesus because of the things they've heard the last few weeks. At least we hope so. That's kind of why we're doing this, because we just want to bring all the glory to God and to really talk Jesus up and make people understand that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the reason why, at least the three of us, I'm sure a whole bunch of other people, are going to spend an eternity in paradise. So just keep that in mind and just keep pushing forward and don't let the devil tell you a bunch of crap, because he's a liar. But thank you so much, and we will see y'all next week.
Next week.
Okay. Good luck, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Until next time, keep walking toward the light.